Health security agencies issued the warning until midday on Friday. Meanwhile, the Prime Minister has been out to flood-hit communities, promising government funding to cover repair costs. Rishi Sunak says the worst-case scenario has been avoided.
Of course, this is going to be devastating for those who are impacted, which is why there's financial support in place. But overall, the investment that's going into flood defences is at a very, very high level, £5.2 billion, hundreds of thousands of homes are protected as a result of that.
Ministers are looking into whether to stop the Post Office from carrying out prosecutions following the Horizon scandal. Hundreds of people were accused of stealing because of faulty IT systems. Police are appealing for information after two people died when their car became submerged in water in Lincolnshire. A 16-year-old boy and 40-year-old man were in the vehicle when it came off the road in Tetney yesterday. London Underground users are being told to complete their journeys earlier than usual this evening as a strike kicks in. Lines will start to close from 7:30, with disruption expected until Friday. In sport, 14-time FA Cup winners Arsenal kick off at home to Liverpool later this hour. Manager Mikel Arteta believes their third-round tie is the perfect game to kickstart a push for trophies.
I think the team has to give more. I think the team has to transmit that bite and that intimidation and dominance to the opponent. And there is a big history between this competition and our club, and we have a big opportunity to start again and make a beautiful journey.
Elsewhere, FA Cup holders Manchester City have started their trophy defence in style. They cruised to a 5-0 win against Huddersfield in the third round. And League One side Blackpool have secured a replay with Premier League side Nottingham Forest. It finished 2-2 at the City Ground. That's the latest. I'm Kat Suave.
Weather on Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
Today, this afternoon, we'll continue to see a mix of bright spells and areas of patchy cloud, mainly dry, but there's still a small chance of the odd shower. Tonight, it will be largely dry with a mix of clear intervals and patchy cloud. These conditions will persist for much of the night, but a few sleet showers could be expected to drift in overnight. It will be cold. Tomorrow morning, we'll start with a rather cloudy sky, a few brighter breaks and isolated wintry showers at times, little change into the afternoon, but showers gradually easing later in the day. And that is your weather.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
And happy new year from us on the arts programme on Phoenix FM. It's our first week back since Christmas, and the first show for both of us actually for quite a long time. It's been about a month, hasn't it? Who are you again? You look different. Anyway, we're here, we're back in 2024. How exciting.
And it's that time of the year that we are all about reflection, making changes to our careers and ourselves, and sometimes it can just be a little bit too much.
Is your social media feed absolutely stacked full of all the things that you should be in 2024?
I don't know how many more sponsored ads about manifestation I can watch.
Manifestation, weight loss,
yeah,
yoga,
how to schedule my diary better.
Yeah, all of that stuff. It's all like, it's overcrowding us. So we're going to take a little bit of a break from all of that noise. We're not going to challenge you too much today. We're just going to have a nice, cheery, warm playlist, nice, cheery show, talk about how amazing January is, talk about some things that you might want to listen to in January, just to get a little bit of that kind of chilled downtime.
So let's get on with it. The first show of 2024, I'm Natalie.
And I'm Claire, and this is the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM.
Stranger to the dark, hide away, they say, 'cause we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are.
but I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. When the sharpest words wanna cut me down, I'm gonna send a blood, gonna drown them out. I am brave, I am bruised, I am who I'm meant to be. This is me.
What an amazing song that is. I love that song. Every time I hear it, it's never any damper than that, is it?
No, it's not. I can't remember the last time I watched The Greatest Showman, because when it came out, I overwatched it. You know, when you just kind of, you overwatch something and then you need to have a very long rest from it. So it's probably a good few years since I watched it.
I think I've only watched it once, and then I've listened to the soundtrack over and over again.
I watched it too many times.
I don't need to watch it again.
I've had to stop.
All the visuals are there in my mind. I can just listen to the soundtrack.
I've had to stop watching Barbie for the same reason.
Oh, Claire.
Yeah, no, don't worry.
So you're six Barbie views a week.
I've learnt from my experience with The Greatest Showman that you cannot watch something 20 odd times and still expect to be able to watch it again in another few months' time. So I've left Barbie alone for now, but I will come back to Barbie. But it does make me feel like it's been a good few years and maybe I could pick up The Greatest Showman again.
Maybe that could replace Barbie for you.
It might. It is a spectacular film, isn't it? It's the most incredible thing.
I think it's just visually very good.
It is.
To be honest, I can't really remember the story that well, but I remember the visuals being amazing, the sound being amazing.
It's just kind of, you know, getting the circus in town, really, isn't it?
Yeah, who doesn't love a circus?
Who doesn't love that? But there's, if you didn't know anything about The Greatest Showman, where have you been? frankly, it won so many awards as well, didn't it? So the song, which is the anthem for character Letty Lutz, was released back in 2017 by Atlantic Records, and it won the Golden Globe Award for Best Original Song at the 75th Awards Ceremony, and it was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Original Song in the 90th Academy Awards as well. And it kind of, you know, the whole album, like you said, is just not just the film, but the album has been a global success for Greg Wells, Justin Paul and Benji Pasek. There's some interesting fun facts that I found out. So most people know now that Rebecca Ferguson's voice was dubbed by Lauren Alred. And I thought, I sort of knew that, even though she does a very good lip sync. But I didn't know much about Lauren Alred. And so I Googled her today and I was like, what can I find out about her? So bizarrely, she made an appearance on Britain's Got Talent about a year or so ago, I think. And I was like, that, I don't understand Britain's Got Talent. I don't understand why you can have somebody who has been, has their voice at least, has been starred in a, you know, major blockbuster film and then can go on Britain's Got Talent. I thought Britain's Got Talent wasn't about professionals.
About amateurs. Anyway. The voice has a bit of that blur, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But the reason why she said she went on there was because she was the kind of, you know, the faceless voice. You know, she didn't really come out of the light. She came, didn't come into the limelight with her voice, and she wants to now. So she actually did release an album last year called I Hear Your Voice, or an EP rather, called I Hear Your Voice. And yeah, so she's touring and doing various things at the moment. She has got a really beautiful voice. But she got down to the finals and ended up ninth or something in the final of Britain's Got Talent. So anyway, there you go. Lauren Alred. And then according to Hugh Jackman, so Hugh Jackman was a huge reason why this film exists in the first place, because he is obsessed by the whole Barnum Circus movement. It's because of him. So he researched it. He found all this stuff about it. And sort of, you know, 9 years before it was finally aired, he was pushing and pushing and pushing for this show, for this film, to get to completion. And he could not convince the studios to back it. So it was a real kind of labour of love for him particularly. And it was only when This Is Me, the song that we've just listened to, which was written by Benji Pasek and Justin Paul, it was only when they got that song written, which apparently was done during a 2-hour flight to the studio meeting of the film, which is like,
that was the studio meeting where they were supposed to reveal what song they'd been writing.
Possibly. Oh God, we've left it to the last minute. Don't worry, we've got a 2-hour flight to get. We'll nail it.
What should they write it about? It's about me.
Yeah, you can see how that kind of thing. Anyway, so they flew over to this studio meeting and took this song, shared the song, and that was when everyone went, oh, okay, let's try and do this then. But this is, you know, this is absolutely coming from Hugh Jackman, which is quite interesting. Another kind of really lovely kind of fact of the film is that a lot of the costumes used in the ensemble circus scene, so there's that kind of moment, I think it is it in This Is Me, or it was one of the songs where they're all kind of coming and Zendaya is doing her trapeze acrobaticsy thing, all of which she did herself, all her own stunts. And when they're all kind of in the circus, in the ensemble circus scenes at the beginning and at the end, those costumes were borrowed from the company, Feld Entertainment, who are the current owners of Barnum and Bailey Circus. So there's this really strong nod back to the original P.T. Barnum's. Going back to the roots and going back through the costume, through all of that stuff. I just really like that. Kind of adds another layer to the film.
It's kind of like some authenticity to what's happened there.
Yeah. And, really nice. You know, everybody said, Hugh Jackman, nobody's interested in about a musical about a circus. How wrong could they be? Anyway, there you go.
It says no one that's ever been to a circus.
Exactly. Yes, they're all kind of running all the way to the bank now, aren't they? Because they did so well on that. Good old Hugh Jackman.
Talking of circuses, how was your Christmas and New Year?
Was it a circus? did I corral all the animals and children and people together? It was all right. It was nice. I mean, it was in Northumberland, so it was my sister, so it was really lovely to be up there. Really windy, though. Oh, my goodness. I'd totally forgotten going from a, you know, 1930s house that I live in, which I've blocked all the chimneys up, to a 17th, 16th, 17th century and 18th century house in Northumberland, which has all open chimneys, like the noise of the wind coming through the chimneys. And it's just, it is that kind of slightly...
And probably far less pollution, kind of.
So I don't know about the pollution, but certainly windy and cold. But it does all sort of, you know, it just kind of, we step back in time when you go back to Northumberland a little bit. So it's nice for that. Nice to see my sister as well. Nice. Long distance listener in Northumberland. What a star.
Do you think she's listening now?
No.
No.
I think she's probably trying to put her Christmas tree away, like all of us are, because today is the day when everything has to come down.
Yeah, so it's the 12th night last night, is that correct? So yes. It needs to be down yes. today, otherwise yeah. we can't have
bad luck
night. Yeah, I was being told this morning yeah. that the 12th night was last night. I've been wrapping up tinsel and stuff like that this morning.
Nice. I'm doing all mine when I get home.
Yeah, no, we've still got the tree up, but the yeah. ornaments need to be put away properly, so
yes.
not going to rush that.
Have you seen people who actually have these kind of ornament stacking boxes with individual holders for all their ornaments? I mean, I aspire to be that person.
I mean, it seems quite practical. We have the original boxes that they all came in
instead. Oh, that's nice.
And we put those boxes inside another box.
Wow. That's at least something. I just have kitchen roll. Get wrapped up in a bit of kitchen roll and then they go in a big box. But yeah, so that was okay. But just before Christmas, before we broke up, we went to, me and kid and friend went to see Jack Whitehall at the Brentwood Centre.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was really happy to be able to take the kids. I mean, I quite like Jack Whitehall and his dad and all the stuff he's done and Fresh Meat and all that kind of stuff. But actually what I was more really happy about was the fact that I could walk to go and see Jack Whitehall. I was so over the moon about having that opportunity here at the Brentwood Centre. It was just brilliant.
Did
massive queues all the way back up the road.
Great advert as well that was on social media.
Yes, I did.
Jack Whitehall,
yes.
Where his dad saying, nobody's going to go to Brentwood. Why are you releasing new
yes.
dates? And he's like, no, seriously, Dad, we've sold out. There's
yeah.
another date. He's like, no, they're not.
They did sell out. And then they put two shows in one night because we got bumped to the later show. So they did a 7 o'clock and a 9 o'clock show. Well, he did. It was entirely all him. His wife is from Essex. So I think his wife is from Basildon, I think. And do you know what? Because he does know and understand Essex, there were some in-jokes about Brentwood versus Basildon and Billericay and stuff. So he was like, oh,
he made it
there
realistic.
There was an authenticness to his knowledge of Essex through his wife. But yeah, he did what he does. You know, he kind of touched on all the usual subjects and things, and there was lots of laughs in the crowd, and he was very, you know, you've all just come to see my dad, haven't you? And everyone went, yes. So, but yeah, it was good. It was definitely some kind of, felt like some kind of potential warm-up for new material kind of tour.
Yeah, great for the Brentwood Centre.
But yeah, really brilliant to have it in Brentwood.
What have you been up to otherwise? I've not been up to very much other than watching films. Really.
Yeah, me too. Just kind of trying to hibernate a little bit with getting over the whole, well, had the big quiz on New Year's Eve, which was very, very, very fun.
Yes.
I always enjoy my big quiz. But yeah, me too, watching some films. I haven't been to the cinema. I haven't managed to kind of get myself out to the cinema, and I still haven't seen Wonka. I was going to go and see
Wonka either.
I really wanted to see that.
Still not seen Barbie.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I'm just holding it off for
as
long as possible.
Well, it's all there on all the streamings now, so you can watch that. So, there's quite a few things. I mean, obviously, I picked up on the Christmas episodes. I picked up on all those kind of the new things. So, I saw the final episode of Ghosts, which made me cry. I saw the Doctor Who, which I thought was really good. Really liked it. Really, quite excited about this new Doctor Who. I think he's going to be really fun.
His companion seems quite lighthearted as well.
Yeah, it's
nice.
Kind of going back to fun.
Yeah.
Just
very much so.
Quirky,
and
weird,
like some
slightly
cheek things that you're looking forward to knowing more about. And
And I just really loved the elf scene on the, you know, the kind of really evil, not they weren't elves, the really evil things that stole the baby and then we're going to.
Oh, and the song.
Yeah, and the song. I just loved
it's
it.
So ridiculous.
I was like, where's this going? This is brilliant.
Yeah.
So those sorts of things were amazing. And then I picked up Empire of Light over Christmas. I watched that.
Film.
Yeah, I mean, I read some reviews about it and it was really split between people who loved it. So The Guardian and a few others really loved it. And then some some of the audience responses to it was it was dull and boring, and I was
I didn't find that at all.
Okay, so this is Julia Coleman.
It was quite heart-wrenching, actually.
I did too. So Empire of the Light stars Julia Coleman, Colin Firth, Michael Ward, Toby Jones, and a cast of others, directed by Sam Mendes, who's known for written and directed by Sam Mendes, actually.
Yeah.
So he's known for his directing, particularly in theatre. So it does have quite a theatrical feel to it.
It's very glamorous.
It is very glamorous.
Lighting and it's, like the sweeping shots.
Yes,
and
yeah. But it has got those kind of, it really plays with the light, doesn't it? So sometimes you get really dark spaces and sometimes you get these kind of really intense light moments. And just the kind of, it really plays with the landscape as well. It's supposed to be set in Margate. I don't know if it was filmed in Margate, but certainly kind of some beautiful cinematography in there. But he's written it as well, which is something of a new thing for him. And it's, it takes that kind of, it goes from sort of tenderness and sadness. It, on the one hand, it's about celebrating cinema, right? It's it's about celebrating the venue and the experience of film. And on the other hand, it's this kind of love story come 80s referencing to society kind of molded into it, because part of this is about the two central characters, Julia Coleman and Michael Ward, who end up having this kind of sort of odd affair with each other through loneliness, actually. I think they're both kind of really searching for happiness.
Adversity as well, because they both have their own difficult positions within society as well, and that's kind of what brings them together.
Yeah, so Julia Coleman's role is she's kind of managing the cinema, and she's the one that kind of shares and opens up the spaces that have been closed, and these kind of beautiful scenes of, you know,
like
this kind of
deco,
this magical moment that's
topped building
that's gone on before, that has got and is now just enjoyed by the pigeons. But she's also very much kind of overpowered by and used by Colin Firth in his character. So he runs the cinema, but he's not a nice man. And she, you know, she's
pretty apathetic as well.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about the cinema in the same way as his team do, obviously.
Yeah, and the team's a real kind of feel like a real sort of, you know, dysfunctional but connected family. So she's kind of treated quite badly by Colin Firth, who doesn't care, just uses her. She's quite frail in her mental health. You kind of get that impression quite early on. And then Michael Ward comes into the picture, and he wanted to go to university and hasn't got the courage, or hasn't got, that sounds awful, but can't sort of see himself in that role yet. And most of that is about because of the color of his skin. So there's the, because it's set in the 80s, it's also set in, like, you know, when sort of National Front would have been really active, and there's quite a lot of scenes where you see him being racially abused, verbally abused, physically abused by white youths. And so it's kind of mixing these two people with these two kind of really complicated backgrounds, and sort of throws them together through this love of film. And her love comes from the building, and his love comes from being transported through the film.
Yeah.
So I thought it had...
And they're both light-hearted characters in a very different way as
well.
The things they say and, like, the unique quips that they have.
Yeah. And there is a sort of sense of unusual connection between them. But I got loads from it. I thought it was really cool. So, but we both have watched Saltburn. So I think we should talk about Saltburn.
I'm not sure how much we can actually talk about, because if you
haven't seen it,
it's
been out for a while though, hasn't it?
Since before Christmas, it's had really mixed reviews.
Well, I mean, if nothing else, it's got a banging soundtrack.
Soundtrack is very good. Sophie Ellis-Bextor is back.
Sophie, oh my goodness, I was looking at all the TikTok stuff of Sophie Ellis-Bextor. She looks exactly the same as she did in 1991. It's incredible.
I love the fact that she kind of came back into existence during lockdown. Do you remember when she was doing those Friday night kitchen parties?
Yeah, well, she's got a podcast as well, hasn't she? She does that really
and
well.
She talks a lot about how her kids don't believe that anyone likes her music. And she's like... Yeah, I had a concert. Yeah, it was sold out. Yeah, people came to watch it. And they're like, no, Mum.
I think she's lovely and down to earth, Sophie Ellis-Bextor. But it's kind of done a lot for her, obviously. And I'm sure you've seen, there's been so much go on social media about this.
It's like
about
hashtag
this
bathtub scene.
Yeah. There's lots of scenes. So it's there's some, I mean, we can tell you who's in it. So the kind of the key stars of it are Barry Keoghan, Jacob Elordi, Rosamund Pike, who is amazing. What's his name? The guy that plays the dad, Richard E. Grant.
Oh, yeah. That's a very well-placed character, actually.
Very well-placed. I mean, Rosamund Pike and Richard E. Grant play this really dysfunctional upper class family, don't they?
I think my favourite part of the film actually is where she's talking about how Common People by Pulp was written about her.
Oh, I know. That was so
but
funny.
Surely it can't have been about me because I don't speak Greek. It's a perfect moment.
It's very, very good. It is beautifully casted, actually. Really, really interesting. And we're struggling as to how much we can talk about, but it's essentially two people who meet at Oxford University, one who is very kind of upper class background, you know, born and bred, kind of, you know.
My friend from Oxford used to call them the Ra's.
The Ra's, okay.
Yeah, if that means anything to anyone.
But also kind of old money, not new money. Yeah. So kind of, and then kind of meets, these two male characters meet each other, and the other one assumes a personality and assumes this kind of persona, mostly to try and impress the guy that he's Jacob Elordi is playing. So Barry Keoghan plays this character who's actually from a kind of, you know, quite a well enough to do middle class family, but he kind of assumes this character of not having parents and, you know, all this kind of this background story. And that's kind of, that is sort of part of it. I think the most interesting thing, I think, is how it's shot. I think there are scenes that you will hear on social media and you'll be able to sort of, what is that going on about? But actually, I think the way it looks is incredible.
Yeah.
And it sort of takes me into
format, isn't it?
Yeah. It takes you into that kind of almost like if you crossed Shakespeare and Dante and kind of melded them together. There's some kind of lots of Midsummer Night's Dream going on in there. There's lots of imagery. She, the director, whose name I've now forgotten, we'll find her name. She plays with foreshadowing a lot. But as a visual thing, I thought it was really interesting and really exciting. I think that there are lots of things that you can take from it. I don't think the things that are there to be shocking are the most interesting things about it.
No, they're not the most shocking.
They're not.
Yeah, I guess in terms of just a warning, if you're going to watch it, there are some vulgar scenes.
There are.
People on the internet are not wrong about that. So, yeah, you know, just be ready for it.
But it's stuff that, the reason why it's getting so much time and people talking about it so much is because it's things that you probably haven't seen in films before. You probably haven't seen some of those scenes being tackled, or you haven't been, and that's a lot down to the director, who really, really enjoys breaking rules and shocking people. So there is a bit of that, but I think don't watch it for that. Watch it for what it looks like.
I think the best part for me was the storyline. I think it was quite unique in the storyline, how it moves around. And as you said, in terms of the foreshadowing and the Midsummer Night's Dream and like two worlds coming together, I think it was very clever.
There's one scene which I absolutely love. Well, there's two scenes I absolutely loved. One is a fancy dress party. That whole piece looks like Midsummer Night's Dream on acid. It's just is incredible.
Yeah.
And the other one was a scene where they're all sitting around a dining table and they
it was
have
quite
to,
Baz Luhrmann, wasn't it?
Yeah. And they have to close the curtains, and the curtains are red, and the whole space becomes red.
Yeah.
And it's symbolic and lots of other things, but that's what those scenes, for me, more so than the shock factor ones, they're the ones that stay with me. And there's quite, yeah, anyway, we won't say more.
Yeah,
watch it and tell us what you think about it.
I think there's so much you could talk about with that film on its own. We could do a whole show about that.
Yeah.
Scene by scene.
We could.
Maybe we should have some music.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
What have we got for our next up?
Stick Season.
Stick Season by Noah Kahan.
As you promised me that I was more than all the miles combined, you must have had yourself a change of heart like halfway through the drive, because your voice trailed off exactly as you passed my exit sign. Kept on driving straight and left our future to the right. Now I am stuck between my anger and the blame that I can't face. And memories or something, even smoking weed is not replaced. And I am terrified of weather, cause I see you when it rains. Doc told me to travel, but there's COVID on the planes. And I love Vermont, but it's the season of the sticks. And I saw your mom, she forgot that I existed. And it's half my fault, but I just like to play the victim. I'll drink alcohol till my friends come home for Christmas, and I'll dream each night of some version of you that I might not have, but I did not lose. Now your tire tracks in one pair of shoes, and I'm split in half, but that'll have to do. So I thought that if I piled something good and all my bad, that I could cancel out the darkness I inherited from Dad. No, I am no longer funny, cause I miss the way you laugh. You once called me forever, now you still can't call me back. And I love Vermont, but it's the season of the sticks. And I saw your mom, she forgot that I existed. And it's half my fault, but I just like to play the victim. I'll drink alcohol till my friends come home for Christmas, and I'll dream each night of some version of you that I might not have, but I did not lose. Now your tire tracks in one pair of shoes, and I'm split in half, but that'll have to do. The sticks, and I saw your mom, she forgot that I existed. And it's half my fault, but I just like to play the victim. I'll drink alcohol till my friends come home for Christmas, and I'll dream each night of some version of you that I might not have, but I did not lose. Now your tire tracks in one pair of shoes, and I'm split in half, that'll have to do.
Phoenix FM.
The directors and management at Brentwood Town Football Club wish to offer you an invitation. Come and join us at the Arena Brentwood and support your local team. We're your local community club, and a warm, friendly welcome awaits you. Brentwood Town are looking to mount a serious push for promotion this season. Admission is only £10 for adults, and accompanied children under 16 are free. Entrance is just £5 for concessions and students, and unaccompanied under 16s can get in for only £3. So join us and be part of our journey.
At Hutton View, we are proud to be an award-winning care home which delivers high-quality residential and dementia care. Alongside this, residents can also benefit from a wide range of inclusive services. Enjoy time in the cinema, farmhouse kitchen or landscaped gardens. For more information, search Hutton View Care Home and see for yourself why Hutton View is a care home with a difference. Hutton View, a hallmark care home.
Lealino Billericay is an exquisite modern Lebanese restaurant featuring a beautifully expansive outdoor garden and a private dining room. A perfect setting to celebrate any occasion. We take pride in serving traditional dishes infused with a delightful modern twist, meticulously crafted using only the finest ingredients. To book a table or inquire about exclusive venue hire, call us on 01277 714 777 and join us to indulge in the epitome of modern Lebanese hospitality.
Need a will? Facing redundancy or an employment issue? Searching for some family legal advice? Seeking legal guidance for your commercial business? Or maybe you are moving property and are looking for an excellent conveyancer? Whatever the legal service, for life, business and everything in between, Pinny Telford Solicitors have it covered. Find out more online at www.pinnytelford.co.uk or call our Brentwood office on 01277 211 755 to book an appointment.
Don't mind if you cry on my shoulder. Remember, remember the things that I told you. Darling, don't you cry, you're gonna be alright. Leave it all behind. Take it off your mind. I know you're fed to fight, but things are looking brighter. Let it go tonight. I know you'll need it, dancing is healing. Love is the answer. Dancing is healing. Dancing is healing. Love is the answer. Dancing is healing. Love is the answer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you need space, when you need time, when it gets heavy on your mind, when you lose faith, put your hand in mine. When it gets heavy, dancing is healing. Love is the answer. My shoulder. Remember, remember the things that I told you. Darling, don't you cry, you're gonna be alright. Leave it all behind. Take it off your mind. I know you're fed to fight, but things are looking brighter. Let it go tonight. I know you need it. Dancing is healing. Love is the answer. Dancing is healing. Love is the answer.
And that was Dancing is Healing.
That one stopped
Rudimental,
quite abruptly.
Charlotte Plank and Vibe Chemistry.
Lots of things in there.
Yes.
So, sorry, and we just spoke for the last 10 minutes whilst you've been listening to that those pieces of music about Saltburn.
The bits that we can mention live on air without ruining the film for anyone.
Watch
that hasn't
it,
seen it
and then tell us what you think of it.
Yes.
Anyway, if you're like me and you're planning a bit of a slower January, it feels like it's a need to be kind to ourselves this January. Taking a bit of time out to reflect maybe and perhaps trying to switch off to some of those all those resolution planning and pressure that we can see around us, then perhaps a few lovely podcasts from last year will set you up with some great listening this year. But I thought let's have a find out first about how great podcasts are at the moment, because when we in 2020 there was this really big resurgence or really big move towards podcasts, and it tapered off a bit after that for obvious reasons. So I was just kind of interested to find out a little bit about, you know, is podcast still the medium of our choice at the moment? And is it a rising thing, or have we got sick of them? So I had a little bit of look around, and apparently today there are 4,318,422 podcasts registered around the world. Quite something. It is still slightly lower than 2021, but it's on the rise. Over 50% of the adult population in the UK have listened to a podcast, and 23% are regular weekly listeners. So, you know, that's quite, if for something
so
that's
one out of two
still
people
quite
will
a
get
new
hooked on
yeah.
listening to yeah. a podcast, really.
Yeah. So for something that's still quite a new medium, over half of us have already heard a podcast. I think that's quite interesting when you think about how long podcasts have been going for, really. Mm. In terms of regular listeners, it's mostly men aged between 25 and 34 make up the core audience. It's, you know, slightly more than women. And overall, it's younger audiences that are listening. So it's the kind of 12 to 35 but and sort of up to sort of 52, 55. And that kind of makes sense when you think about who's running podcasts, who's what the platforms you use for them, and how people are listening to them. So in terms of the leaderboard, Apple Podcasts is still the leader, but Spotify is giving them a real run for their money. And they are kind of like, you know, taking the sort of 23, 25, 28% market share. Everything else under that is kind of under 10%. So, you know, they're really heading out in front there. And most people listen to podcasts on their phones, so perhaps that also says something about the demographic age group, people under 54, everyone having smartphones, everyone having access to Apple Podcasts on their phones and just kind of listening to that, you know, when they're going on runs or going to work and whatever. So that sort of all makes sense. Around the world, in terms of kind of growth industry, this is still based on 2019 statistics because they haven't done any for 2023 yet. But the top growth areas back in 2019 were Chile. They had an 83.9% growth in podcasts in that year. Argentina, Peru, Mexico and China. So you can see there's like lots
South America
of South America that are hugely heading the way in terms of growth. And the country,
I wonder if that's anything to do with infrastructure in South America.
It could be.
Yeah.
It's where people are getting information from, I guess, as well. I don't know. There might be things around the cost of mobile phones, the cost of phone contracts and things like that being cheaper. Who knows?
Spotify and Apple popping up in a bigger way in these countries as well.
I mean, yeah, they probably would have been targeting those countries too, wouldn't they? Mm. And around the world, the most in the country with the most listeners anywhere is Australia. And again, I wonder whether that's because it is such a huge country. You kind of get, you're getting your knowledge and your information from a very simple format, which is a podcast. So now we know a bit about why podcasts are a growing trend and still seem to be on an upward trajectory. And of course, in 2024, you should absolutely make a note to listen to the Phoenix FM series of podcasts from all of our shows across the network.
Yes.
But
there's 191 on there.
Is there?
Yes.
What, in ours or just across?
In ours, in the arts programme.
Just in ours. There's 191 hours. That's more than 1 hour. It's nearly 2 hours,
isn't
it?
2 hour shows, yeah.
Loads of hours of listening. What fun. And that's just the arts programme. Don't forget everyone else on Phoenix FM too. Anyway, across the national, I looked at a number of different media outlets, Guardian, Apple, different online news letters, all sorts of things about what's the best podcasts, what have the best podcasts been in 2023. And I've put them together in the kind of typical Frankenstein's monster way of taking stuff from everywhere. So here are 10 that have reached in various different places accolades of the best podcasts in 2023. So I shall start with number 10, and then you can do in between that. So number 10, The Rest Is Entertainment. This is The Guardian's Marina Hyde and Richard Osman, who have opened up a new weekly look at popular culture as long-term pals. Their easy chemistry, the casual hilarity and seemingly effortless way they craft an entertainment show as full of genuine insight industry is a real treat. So if you like a bit of industry insights and entertainment, try that one. It's called The Rest Is Entertainment.
Number 9, a little bit of comedy, Pod Save the UK, which is the UK spin-off of Pod Save the World, which is a fresh and funny twosome, satirist Nish Kumar and The Guardian's Coco Khan, chew over the week's political and cultural news, from the housing crisis to the COVID inquiry, the Israel-Palestine conflict, the Russell Brand scandal, and the return of David Cameron, as they tackle it all alongside guests including Rob Delaney, James O'Brien, David Lammy. But Kumar and Khan always have time to chat about Eurovision and Beyonce concerts too, making this a political podcast to have some serious fun with.
There you go.
Wow. that must be really difficult writing.
Yes. It wasn't all mine. And in at number eight, Stuff You Should Know. I have listened to this one. It's quite useful. According to Apple Podcasts, this teaches you everything you need to know about science, history, religion, crime, and more. It's been running for a very long time, since 2008, and has over 2,000 episodes. It's hosted by Josh Clark and Chuck Bryant, and Clark also made a podcast called The End of the World with Josh Clark. Bryant worked in both film and as a professional writer before joining Stuff You Should Know, and it's one of those ones that you can dip into. Well, I think one of the things that I really like about podcasts is that you can sign up to the whole series, or you can just dip into certain shows that kind of, you know, really interest you. And something like this one, which has all that kind of breadth of science, history, religion, crime, lots of other things, it's a really nice one to kind of go, oh, I didn't know much about that. They've done, in the last couple of weeks, they've been doing quite a lot about kind of Hitler and various different kind of focuses of different areas,
like
of Hitler's,
things you weren't taught at school.
Yeah, the things that are missing. So if there are bits that are missing in your learning or your knowledge or your insights around science, history, religion, crime and more, then Stuff You Should Know is the one for you.
At number 7, we've got one for those people that are looking to get healthy for January. So this is the Huberman Lab. It's hosted by neuroscientist Andrew Huberman, who is a top health and fitness related professional, and according to podcast website is the top health and fitness related podcast on Apple at the moment. So Huberman Lab explores different health related topics like fitness, mental health, sleep and supplements. The podcast has featured countless health experts and recently featured Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla Chan.
So Andrew Huberman is an American one. He's kind of really famous in the States. It's a good one to listen to. I've listened to a couple of those. One I haven't listened to, Smartless, is a weekly podcast hosted by actors Jason Bateman, Sean Hughes and Will Arnett. I've seen these people doing various things on social media around their podcast, but it sounds like it is an absolute riot of fun. It focuses on using comedy and shared experiences to connect people from all walks of life, according to the podcast website. In every episode, one of the hosts also invites a surprise guest for the other two hosts onto the show, and the podcast began back in 2020 because the three actors, Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes and Will Arnett, have been lifelong friends, and they are actually really funny together. When you watch them and listen to them, they are quite hilarious. It's got loads of well-known guests in it, so if you're looking for people like Ryan Reynolds, Jennifer Aniston, Will Farrell, Adam Sandler, all the great and the goods are on Smartless.
All of the big guys.
Yeah.
At number 5, so we're on our top 5 now, The Rest is History. So historians Tom Holland and Dominic Sandbrook are interrogating the past and attempting to detangle the present. So they question the nature of greatness, why the West no longer has civil wars, and whether Richard Nixon was more like Caligula or Claudius. They're distilling the entirety of human history, or as much as they can fit into about 50 minutes. So another good one to bring your history knowledge back up
and
date.
look at it with different perspectives, and it's not like a history lesson. It's really interesting and exciting. Sorry to all those history teachers out there. Number 4, Off Menu with Ed Gamble and James Acaster, and I've listened to many of these. They are comedians, I'm sure you've heard of them, and they invite special guests into their magical restaurant to choose their favourite starter, main course, side dish, dessert and drink, and you get the most incredible array of well-known people in the public eye who come and share their ideas. But you also get, I think what's interesting is, for me, it's not about Ed Gamble and James Acaster trying to be as funny as possible. It's actually really listening to the guests and what they're talking about and how they're making some of those choices, and the little like just little stories you get from them when they're kind of going off on these journeys of thinking, remembering about food and what it reminds them that they've had. And I've listened to, oh, I don't know, I've listened to quite a few of them. The one that sticks in my mind is Alan Partridge, Steve Coogan. And actually what was really interesting about Steve Coogan's is his daughter is a chef. So he really loves food and he really had to think about this and he had to get his daughter to come and help him because he wanted to get it right.
Yeah. It's like, and I guess he would have to get it right because his daughter would be listening.
Yeah. But it was kind of really interesting that some people just kind of go, oh yeah, I just kind of have this. And you know, you can hear people sort of just slightly making it up as they go along. But Steve Coogan made notes. He like went to it properly. So it's really nice. It's a kind of rambling conversation and comedy, but using that kind of format of what would you start with the meal and kind of going all the way through. And of course, people like Steve Coogan, who have eaten in some of the best restaurants in the world, as have Ed Gamble and James Acaster. So they can bring quite a lot of knowledge to the piece as well.
Number three, another health one here. Feel better, live more with Dr. Rangan Chatterjee. So Rangan Chatterjee says, health has become overcomplicated. I aim to simplify it. So in her podcast, she tells... In this podcast, we hear stories from leading health experts and exciting personalities who offer easy health life hacks, expert advice, and debunk common health myths, giving you tools to revolutionise how you eat, sleep, move and relax. Hosted by Dr. Chatterjee, one of the most influential GPs in the country with nearly 20 years experience.
It's a nice one. I've listened to a few of those as well. And the one thing that I like that he said that I've kind of done a few times, I don't do it religiously, but I do it a few times, is that he talked about having everyday holidays. And this kind of idea that we save up all of our time, or, you know, our precious holiday time. We work so hard all year round to get these days off work and have this holiday. And we put so much pressure on that holiday to be perfect. And invariably, you know, you come away feeling it takes you 3 days to relax into it. You might come away thinking that you've had a lovely holiday, but do you really feel like as relaxed as you've expected to feel having waited that long for that holiday? And he says, let's flip that round on its head and actually let's have a holiday every day, so that when you do have those moments where you take time off work and go on holiday, the pressure is off that holiday to be everything to you as a relaxation, stress relief experience. Because during the week, just every day have a moment where you go, oh, that's a holiday. So you can find moments in your day where you're doing something which just makes you feel good about yourself or your life or what you're doing. So for example, so before I came out, I did an hour at my kitchen table with the Christmas Lego. That was an hour of holiday. So it's things like that. It's like taking the dog out for a walk. As you're walking out for the dog, just kind of go, no, this is my holiday. And when you start reframing moments in the day where you've kind of gone, no, I've not been tidying the house, washing up, putting the laundry on. I've not been working. I've not been ferrying kids around from one place to the next. I've not been doing X, Y, and Z. I've just walked the dog in blissful silence, listening to my podcast. And that's my little holiday. Mm. And little holidays every day will take that pressure off those big holidays. And by the time you get to those bigger holidays, you'll feel less stressed. And that was one of his things that I kind of really took on board.
And I guess even without that holiday, you're just finding some time for yourself to lead a less stressful life in general.
Absolutely. Number two is the rest is politics. Again, if you are interested in a kind of, you know, really sort of understanding different views of politics or hearing people thrash out different political views, then this is the one for you. Two men who have been at the heart of the political world, former Downing Street Director of Communications and Strategy, Alistair Campbell, and Cabinet Minister Rory Stewart, join forces from across the political divide. The rest is politics lifts the lid on the secrets of Westminster, offering an insider's view on politics at home and abroad, while bringing back the lost art of disagreeing agreeably. There you go.
disagreeing agreeably. I feel like that should be the slogan of the Great British flag.
Yeah, disagreeing agreeably. Yeah.
And at number one, we've got The Diary of a CEO with Stephen Bartlett.
Yeah.
Maybe this is another one for those people that are thinking about career change. This is a podcast which has the simple mission of providing an unfiltered journey into the remarkable stories and untold dimensions of the world's most influential people, experts and thinkers.
It's been around for a while, and Stephen Bartlett is one of those kind of self-made people, so
yeah, you see a lot on LinkedIn.
You do he's got some really good sound bites and that kind of stuff, and he interviews some incredible people from across all sorts of different backgrounds, and as he says, the world's most influential people, experts and thinkers. So I haven't actually listened to Diary of a CEO, but I know because it's featured on numerous top 10 near the number one slot. It got in at number one in our list because so many people have put it at number one. So try that one out. Shall we get back to our playlist then?
We should. And we've got a couple of tracks coming up by amazing ladies. The first is Be My Baby by the Ronettes.
Celebrate a birthday, anniversary, or maybe an engagement soon? At Brentwood Golf Club, our fully licensed function room is perfect for your special occasion. With reasonable room hire, a fully stocked bar, and access to decorate your theme from 10 a.m, contact Stacey or Chanel in our functions team on 01277 375 101 to find out more. Brentwood Golf Club Function Room. Making your celebration that bit more special.
The elements influence us each year, whether it's heat in summer or cold in winter. At JWD, we can take care of all your heating and air conditioning needs at a reasonable price, with finance available through our partners Can Do if required. Our engineers give their promise to be clean and tidy whilst carrying out works to the highest standard. Give us a call on 0777 609 239 or visit our social media pages at JWD Heating.
We'll be right back. on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
You better not steal the moon.